Okay, let's park it there. Keep them coming. 061-414-107. But let's welcome our guest on the line now. One of the greatest players to play for Orlando Pirates, a CAF Champions League winner with the 1995 team. But what he's done after football is even more amazing. And he joins us on the line now. Dr. Bernard Lushozi. Good evening, sir. And thank you very much for speaking to us tonight on SAFM.
Oh, good evening, Tabiso. And good evening to your listeners.
I hope you are well, sir. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay, man.
That's good to hear. And I'm calling you Dr. Bernard Lushozi because I want to start about this part of your life, if you don't mind. Some people might be wondering, why am I calling you Dr. Bernard Lushozi? Can you just tell people how you got this title?
Oh, well, I got this title from when degree, a PhD, in learning support, guidance, and counseling was conferred to me last year in September. Yeah. Well, it's not something that I have inherited. Yeah.
It was conferred to you. Learning support and counseling. Why is this what your thesis was based on, learning support and counseling?
Yes. Yeah. My thesis is based on that, but I used instructional approaches, which is a teaching method for learners who are facing severe to profound intellectual disabilities. How do teachers teach learners who are facing severe and profound intellectual disabilities?
And why is this? Why did you choose this specific subject, Dr. Lushozi?
The thing is, when I started teaching, I was lucky that I started teaching in prison. And when I arrived in prison, I've noticed that some of the inmates that are in there, they were not identified that they had learning problems at school. You know, they are in prison because schools did not. We're unable to identify their intellectual disabilities. And people, they resorted to crime and all that, you understand? Yeah, the mistake that we do as teachers by saying, yeah, you dom, only to find that learners are afflicted with intellectual disabilities, you know, and then they end up doing crime because no one identified their problems. And I became a principal from 2005 in a school that caters for learners who are facing severe to profound intellectual disabilities, which is called, in this common language, special school.
And you say common language, it sounds like you don't agree that it's a special school.
Yes. They call them special schools, but where I discovered that there was nothing special about special schools, because teachers who are teaching in special schools, they come from the mainstream schools, you know. Yeah. For example, if a learner is afflicted with cerebral palsy or CP, you need to have a specialized teacher who know what is CP. How learners who are afflicted with cerebral palsy learn, what is their learning styles, and what is their strength, to understand. For example, if I have to compare you with other profession, in the health sector, you cannot, if a person has a toothache, they don't go to any other doctor, like you will go to a dentist because he specializes in the tooth. Do you understand? You don't go to a gynecologist. So, but the learners who are afflicted, for example, with a whatever syndrome, any other syndrome, a teacher should be knowledgeable about the learners, people who are afflicted with those syndromes. How do they learn and how to teach them? So they bring in the mainstream approach. So they're not special in that way.
Which is what you're trying to do then, and especially now that you have your PhD, then you have the expertise now, Dr. Lushozi.
Yes, that we can collaborate with other professionals and scholars to draw a curriculum that will fit the label of specialization in special schools. Would it to fit you to become a special educator? You have to be trained to specialize in those learners, maybe who are affected with autism spectrum. For example, you may be dubbed or called but in autism teacher, you teach learners who are afflicted with autism spectrum. Do you understand?
Mm. Now I hear you. For those who are just joining us, we are speaking to Dr. Bernard Lushozi. In football, they know him as Shoes, and we're going to get into that part of the football, but we just wanted to find out more about him, and he's just told us now about his PhD in learning support and counseling. He obtained it from the University of Pretoria. And on that note then, Dr. Lushozi, some people might not be aware, some might be aware that you are now visually impaired, that you are blind. When did you go blind, Dr. Lushozi?
I became partially blind in 2020, on the 10th of February. I remember it was some 2 weeks after the lockdown for coronavirus. Yes, I became aware on the 10th of April that my vision has been deteriorating. Yeah, and medically speaking, I was told that it's because of the collapsed retina. It started with the left eye and it went on to the right eye as well. Yes, and until I became totally blind. However, when I became blind, I had already written finished 3 chapters of my thesis. And the rest, I finished them while I was blind. The other 3 sure. chapters.
Wow. Yeah. How did you manage to do that?
I was assisted by my wife, but I would tell her what to say, what is what, because I have already collected data, and it was only to analyze it, and I have already analyzed it, you know, and yeah. It was not much job now,
And... Yeah, and you seem to be specific about the day, 10 May 2020. You can never forget it.
Yeah, April, 10 April.
10
yes.
April, sorry, 2020. What exactly do you remember about that day?
We were supposed to go and grab what is called umhlonyana. I don't know what's that in English, because we were just collecting some traditional herbs to protect ourselves against corona.
Mm-hmm.
And I was supposed to drive. And when I just told my wife that, no, you're going to have to drive because my vision is, something is wrong with my vision. You know, I thought it was going to be just a temporary thing. And unfortunately, as a day proceeded, I discovered that, well, it's not getting any better, and I was frustrated. You know, frustrated and angry, and disbelief, and you also experience some elements of denial. Which, no, it can't be happening, and unfortunately, it did happen, and I had to go through all those emotional stages, you know, of trauma. Yes.
That couldn't have been easy. And how has being blind changed your life? How has it changed your daily routine, Dr. Bernard Lushozi?
Yeah, it has changed a lot of things. Because now I've lost a bit of my independent life, you know. As I'm talking to you now, I should be talking to you, maybe looking, referring and looking somewhere in the computer or for whatever notes that one has prepared maybe for this interview, but now everything depends on my brain, if you understand. I don't have anything to read to say, you know, to guide me. So now So now it strengthens my cognitive ability now in the brain, you see. And unfortunately, you have to be led because, you know, I still have to learn to braille around the house. And it's not easy, but it's something that I have to do. You know, I don't have a choice.
And is it something that you've accepted?
I think now, with the support of my family and everyone who has been socialized around this disability, they're helping me by making the environment to be as comfortable as possible so that I can be able to at least be independent in my house, because it's still my house. Even if I'm blind, I can. They need to close the doors because I can bounce against the door, and I use hands to direct myself from one room to the next room. So it is quite a challenge, but at the end of the day, since I am a person who regards myself as an advocate for people with disabilities, you know, I had to practice that and fight, you know, and fight to convince even other people that it doesn't mean it's the end of the day. It's just a disability, and it means it's a change in the state of functioning. Instead of my eyes, I use my hand to braille my way, to find my way, you know. That is the state of functioning.
For those who are just joining us on SAFM Spot On, we're in conversation with the legend of the game, Dr. Bernard Lushozi, popularly known as Shoes during his playing days. And we were just talking to him about his PhD and about his thesis, and also the fact that he's gone completely blind since 10 April 2020. And he's just sharing that experience with us. We do welcome your voice notes on 061-4104-107. And we're going to get into the football part of it shortly.
Evening, Taviso. I just want to wish Orlando Pirates all the best. May they fly the South African flag very high. We are waiting for the trophy. Definitely, they like the way they are playing. I've got confidence in them. And for the reason that they reached the final, then they're gonna come back home with the trophy. And then secondly, with our guest there in the studio, Mr. Shoes. I just have one question. I want to know, the way he was a hard tackler. Was it the way he was coached? Was he being told by the coach to say go and kick them, or it was just his style of play? It's a part of a year in Hawaii. Thank you.
Evening, Tabiso. You are hosting a legend there, Bernard Shuzi. Remember the likes of Obama, Mabuza. The likes of Stability Unity Lane, the likes of Kaitano, the likes of Eugene Zwane, the likes of Mungango, the likes of Opara Williams, the great players who were playing along that great man, and then of indeed the Paris by that time had the quality players. Great players, big name players, players who know when they were playing is either Royal Bignut Stadium, Alexander, or anywhere in Gauteng, they were prepared to die for the jersey of the team. And I think the players of today, even the players who are playing today, tonight against the American team, can learn from the great legends like Bernard Lushozi, Rangers to learn.
Hi to you, Tepiso. Thank you for being there and giving us our sporting weeklies. One day give us your history about how you passed apartheid. Interesting to know. Thank you for bringing Shoes My Shoes. He's one of the greatest legends that's passed through South African football. And I used to enjoy him, and it's so nice listening to him. Thank you once again for bringing him. I'm enjoying his playing days. Bye, Scully.
Okay, Scully, thanks for that. Maybe you're referring to Shoes to talk about playing during apartheid, because I wasn't around in those days. But let's go to the lines. KGM, good evening. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Tabiso, and good evening to Dr. Lishon. Shoes. Can I give you two food for thought? Two issues here. One is, as a legend, and this word legend has been loosely used these days, your generation never really got to enjoy the status as you deserved it. But as a legend, owing to the hardships that you experienced as a player, and you look at the status of our football today. When I say the status, I'm not talking about Bafana Bafana being whatever number, whatever in Africa or anything. I'm talking holistically the development of yesteryear players, their lifestyle, how they manage to get to where they are. You're looking at yourself as Shoes. What does that give you in terms of the legacy? Because this is more like a marathon for me. You're giving this baton to those who came after you. The second and the last point. Shoes, I suggested a while ago that PSL should consider having two teams per province. We have 16 teams in PSL. Mm-hmm. To balance the platform for talented guys. You remember the days of Jomo Sono when he used to go all over the country and get the likes of Chipa, Philemon Masinga, and so forth.
Yes, recruiting.
Yes. What is your view in terms of how we can correct ourselves in as far as that is concerned as a country?
Okay.
So that we have a better structured soccer in this country.
Okay, KJ, I hear you. We just have to move on just because we're not cutting you off, but there are a lot of people that want to talk to Shoes. But let's maybe answer those questions. Let's start with the first one, Shoes. I think he wants to know if the legacy that, if the current generation has continued from where you left off.
Yeah, if Tabiso, I'm not mistaken, the first caller asked about the way I used to tackle.
Hard tackler, yes.
Yeah, and that was I told by anyone. you know, football is a physical, it's a contact sport. Do you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, football is a contact sport. And for you to be able to play, you must be physically conditioned, which means you must be trained to be strong so that your body can handle all, you know, the activities that takes place in the field of play. But for me to be hard, I think there's also some, that was my style, the style of playing. But now, this style was magnified by coaches. How? For example, when I started playing at Swallows, and there was a coach who used a coach called Mario Tuan.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a Chilean coach. May his soul rest in peace. Yeah, Mario Tuane. I remember my first game at Swallows. This is what he put in my mind or in my brain, you know. Before the game, when I was selected, you know, to start the game in the first 11, he asked the other players. The AC Mnini of that time, Oprima Kupela, Kongo Malibane, Thomas Songwane, Hetty Kau, Rod Mitchell, Sikuna Paraya, Sudi Pamchi, he asked them a question. He said to them, guys, tell me, if you put Shoes in one room and you lock him with a donkey or a horse, you tell me, players, who comes out of the room?
Who comes out
and
alive?
And then you know what was the answer?
Shoes.
He said, Shoes come out, the donkey goes to hospital. And then that is the psychology of the game. That I was told, he was a mirror of how strong am I.
The Godfather.
This is, yeah, I was told, Uguti, how strong, should he, the art of winning in any sports game is the focus on what do you have, what does shoes have. Even if when you coach a player, you coach them based on what they have, not what they don't have. You magnify what they have. You understand? That is the art of coaching.
And that's how he played the game, Shoes Lushozi. And I think KGM wanted to know if the current generation has picked up from where you left off and your generation left off.
Yeah, the thing is, they did, but the only thing is the context is different. The problem, people do not understand that the context is very different. The players of yesteryears and the current players, they are facing different contexts. They play in the different avenue altogether. Because when you look at the yesteryear players, we played like, you know, football was the only thing we could do during those apartheid years and what. Football was the only thing you could do. It was easily accessible. But now the players of today, they are faced with many challenges. I can make an example about my son. He plays football. He plays rugby. He plays cricket. And now that is overload. There's no focus there.
Yes.
He now, yesterday he told me that yesterday I was buying stuff for basketball. So now he's over. So he's overloaded. So he cannot be an expert in anyone. You know?
But at least you are supporting him.
Yeah. And another thing, and the support as well of people in football in the past. And now people, they'd rather watch the game in television as well. You know what? It's an explosion of entertainment. They're competing against many fields or types of entertainment. You know, so now in the past there were not many things. You know, you hear people now, they posting about golf. Mina ngiyazi nokuthi idlalo kanjani. He's a score, golf. Most abantu bathe going to golf. Golf uzoyibona ngabo ma 80s and 90s ukudakhi.
Yeah, and I'm interested to find out, KGM, sorry, my friend, I've got time for only one question. I'm interested to find out, Shoes, when you were playing then, it seems like there was still a focus on education. Were you studying at the same time while playing for Pirates?
Yeah, you see, the thing is, when you like, you know, yeah, because in most cases we were recruited when we were about to finish school, like at standard 10, then back to grade 12. Just when you start entering grade 12, they recruited you to come and play, you know. But fortunately, in the past, it was not full time as is now. But still, that doesn't mean you cannot go to school, because there were opportunities given to players then from SAFA, like they would give you a bursary if you are in the tertiary, if you are a professional football player. So you. And we were only training at 5 o'clock in the evening.
From
5 to 7 o'clock, 2 hours once a day, you know. Yeah.
Sure.
So, and it was also important that football, you go to school, because most players, you would be advised even by your fellow teammates. I remember the first time I entered the Morocco Salos Kumbi to go to training, they fetched me at the school. And I was warned by Oprima Kupela, Thomas Kangwane and Congo to say, hey, you must take school serious. You don't rush to come to training. You must finish this matric and what. You know, you find that then, because a child was raised by a village, you have a number of coaches around you. You know, you could be coached by anyone because you would listen.
Yeah. And I once read an interview that you did. You also mentioned Ntseya Mapike, that he also encouraged you in your studying. At which stage was this?
Yeah, Ntseya Mapike, I studied with him in Jabulani Technical High School, but I found him because I found him at Vista again. And he was a second year student when I came. And he also helped to negotiate for my admission, you know, because his father is a professor, was a professor there, and was teaching there at Vista. So I negotiated for my admission. It was not easy because I didn't have a good matric result, but I was matured enough, you know.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah,
yes.
It played a very vital role in my life, in my education life, yes.
Okay. And Shoes, as we wrap up now, just because of time, I'm sure we'll get another opportunity to speak to you again.
All right.
A lot of people, when they see you, they see 95 CAF Champions League, winning the CAF Champions League. Firstly, how special was that? And what was key in that Pirates team of 95 to go all the way and win the title?
Yeah, I guess it's a number of factors that made us to win that 1995 Champions Cup. Number one, I want to compare it with what is happening now. Pirates won a league in 1994, but we got players. Most of the players, if you remember, Hellman, Mkhalele, Edward Mutale, they came from Cosmos after Cosmos was relegated.
Yes.
And then Jomo boosted Orlando Pirates with his players, Sabu McFish, and he strengthened the team. And well, with the support as well of Dr. Ivan Khoza, the financial support and managing and professional management of the team, made us to win the 1994 and went to win in Africa. But naturally, the talent was there. And another thing, we had just gained democracy in 1994,
yes.
First black president. And we wanted to preserve, we had many reasons to win. We have to win for Mandela. We have to win that we are free. You know, there were many reasons. And we had to win because those footballers had what we call self-efficacy, you know, high level of self-esteem and confidence. We didn't fear anything that walks on two legs. And anywhere we went around Africa, we felt that we were just like a lion in his kingdom. We didn't fear anybody, which is the attitude which Pirates should take when they go there to Nigeria, because Nigeria is their home. You know, because you are born in the world. One of the first gifts that you get from God when you are born is the world. God gives you to the world. Before you are born in South Africa, you are born in the world. So there is nothing like away and home. Yeah, wherever you are going, it's your home. You're still in the world. You have a right to be free and to play and to enjoy. So you don't have to fear anything. So even the present coach has to address that fear first.
The fear factor.
He must address the fear factor that we are, you know, we deserve to be where we are and we can make it. So we didn't fear and we had a good support.
Okay, Mchukate, I want to give the last word to the listener. So many people are so happy to hear from you, and let's play some of these voice notes as we wrap up the show.
All right.
Oh, Shoes, you know, you make me somewhat to get tears in my eyes if I just think of the type of team that the Orlando Pirates had, with you in the back line, a hard tackler, taking no nonsense. Good luck, Shoes.
Good evening, Shoes. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, South Africa. Shoes, you've traveled all four seasons of one's life. Thank you so much. I hope everybody learned from you. You are a kid. You've got knowledge and lesson learned previously, and you're going forward with it. All the best, my brother.
Hi, Tabiso, the team in studio, and a special greeting to the doctor, Dr. Lushozi. I just wanted to say this is such an inspirational, one of the most inspirational conversations I've listened to on your show. And I just want to say to the doctor, maybe continue to be a beacon of light and hope for everyone. And how I wish Orlando Pirates players that are playing the final tonight would be listening to this conversation. How inspired they would be. Thank you so much for bringing such a great guest today. Thank you.
Thank you. And this is not the end of our conversation. It's just that time is the enemy at the moment. But we're going to park it here, Dr. Lushozi. We're going to bring you back. There's so much to talk about. And so many people are happy to hear from you. And we just wanted to bring you here, highlight what you've done, give you the respect that you deserve. But after the story you've shared with us, Jugate, we just also want to say we want you to be strong as you are, as strong as you sound on radio, and keep going, sir.
Yeah, well, Tadi, so thank you for giving me the opportunity, and thank you from the supporters and listeners that have spoken so wonderful and encouraging words, and keep doing the good job, man. I thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Lushozi. I hope you are encouraged by the words from the listeners. People will never forget how you've made them feel.
Yes, that's true.
Thank you.
That's true.